three blows in a row. There was no room for me in the school. I probably could not speak the language in which the courses were taught, and if I went I would lose my girl. Every reasonable sign seemed to point away from the school in Glasgow, and yet, unmistakable inside me, sublimely indifferent to every human and logical objection, was a little voice that seemed to say, "Go." It was the voice that had called to me in the wind, the voice that had told me to speak out in the factory, the voice that never made sense at a logical level. The next day I was kissing Marcia and Gelche goodbye, shaking hands with Papa and Cornelius, and running down the road for the bus that would take me on the first leg of a journey that is still going on. Chapter 6. The Game of the Royal Way. I stepped off the train in London, holding the piece of paper on which I had written the address of the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade headquarters. Outside the train station, tall red buses and high black taxicabs spun dizzily past on the wrong sides of the street. I walked up to a policeman, held out the paper, and asked how I might get to this address. The officer took the paper and looked at it. Then, nodding, he stretched out his arm and for several minutes rattled off directions. I stared at him, dumbfounded. I could not understand one single word. In embarrassment, I took back the paper, said, "Danku," and walked away in the direction of his first arm wave. I tried several other policemen with no better results. At last there was nothing for it. I had to spend a bit of precious cash on a taxi. I found one parked at the curb, handed the driver the piece of paper, and closed my eyes as we whirled off in the left-hand lane. A few moments later he stopped. He pointed to my piece of paper, then to a large building badly in need of paint. I picked up my suitcase, made my way up the steps, and rang the doorbell. A woman opened the door. I explained as carefully as I could who I was and why I was here. The lady looked at me with a vacant stare, which assured me that she had not caught even the drift of my remarks. She signalled with her hand that I was to come in, showed me a straight chair in the hallway, and then disappeared. When she came back, she had in tow a man who spoke some Dutch. Once again, I explained who I was and where I was headed. "Ah, yes, of course. But didn't you get our cable? We wired you 3 days ago that there was no room up in Glasgow just now." "I got the cable, yes." "And you came anyhow?" I was happy to see that the man was smiling. "A place will open for me when the time comes," I said. "I'm certain of it. I want to be ready." The man smiled again and told me to wait a moment. When he returned, he had the news I was hoping for. It would be all right for me to stay here at headquarters for a short while, provided I was willing to work. And so began one of the hardest 2-month periods of my life. The physical work I was required to do was not difficult. I was to paint the WEC headquarters building.